From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kosokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com. Amal, thank you for joining us at iAfrican.com. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Amal, it's a sad day today. But I think you're happier than us. The conference is coming to an end. We're having the closing ceremony later on today. And the social party, the closing social party. Walk us through, I think let's start from the beginning. What were the preparations, you know, before coming to Ghana?
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, I'm not happier. It's a sad day.
It's a sad day.
Parting with these wonderful people is always sad. It's definitely an emotional day.
Yes.
With different emotions, you know. It's a sense of maybe a bit of achievement. Also relief that we are at this point.
Yes.
Definitely sadness is a big part of it as well. But yeah, it's also a moment of celebration of all the amazing work that we've been seeing and, you know, witnessing from the communities. But yeah, preparations, so they start way before this week. We actually, right after the Indaba of last year, well, we do take a few weeks to to relax, to breathe, to catch up our breath. And then, yeah, we actually reconvene usually after a few weeks in mid-October or so.
Okay.
To try to bring together volunteers who want to contribute to this year and try to build a plan together.
Okay.
So it starts basically around mid-October or so.
For the following year.
For the following year.
Okay.
But, you know, the intensity of works varies, obviously. There are periods where we work really hard. For example, in the beginning, to open applications, to review. And then to, you know, collect money from our amazing supporters so we can put this thing together. And then it can wind down a little bit when once we send all the offers and picks up again once we start booking flights.
Mm-hmm.
We also have had a new experience this year with publications, with peer-reviewed short papers. So this also started at a different timeline. So yeah, it goes actually from October until the end of the Indaba, maybe after to do some reporting as well.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is involved at different rhythms, different timelines, but it takes all this time. You know, many of us have been involved all the way, you know, from October until this moment. Yeah.
Amil, walk me through the first time you came to an Indaba. How did you know of the Indaba? How was the first Indaba for you? Walk me through that journey.
Yeah. So I actually joined the Indaba adventure, you know, a few years before having the opportunity to physically attend an Indaba.
Okay.
I discovered the Indaba in 2018 through a talk with Shakir Mohammed, who, you know, very eloquently spoke about the mission, about the situation that we want to change, and that inspired me. I wanted to, you know, contribute to this somehow. So I reached out to the organizers and I asked how I can help. And they put me in touch with the organizers of Indaba X Tunisia at this moment. And that was my first experience with Indaba. So I did attend Indaba X Tunisia in 2019. It was an amazing experience. It was relatively big, I think 350 attendees. Also diverse, but much less diverse than what we see here. Because the nature of the Indaba X is a local venture, it's a local organization. And then in 2019, at the end of the year, when I joined full-time my current organization, Google DeepMind, I asked again how I can contribute in a much, you know, sustained way and continuous way. So I joined the steering committee then.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that was end of 2019, which meant that the pandemic happened and we couldn't have a physical Indaba until last year in Tunisia. So, well, we had multiple Indaba X's, but I was helping from behind, you know, my screen, and I didn't get in touch with this wonderful community on the ground until last year. But the feeling, like this feeling when you arrive the first day of the Indaba and the first bus of people come and just the doors open and everyone gets down, but just the feeling that, you know, I couldn't really describe it with words. It feels like that this moment that you've been waiting for a whole year is finally here. And yeah, it's such a joy, such happiness to reconnect with everyone. It's maybe the first time that that you meet people that you've been working with all the year long, but then seeing them, you know, you put a body to the faces that you've been seeing. It's just such a wonderful feeling. Yeah.
From that first Indaba X you attended to the deep learning Indaba this year, give me one or two highlights in terms of growth for you, okay, from a growth perspective. That you're loving to see right now, you're loving to experience right now.
Okay, two highlights. So my first involvement with Indaba was through the central organization of Indaba X's. So again, that was the pandemic, right? So the Indaba X grew from the early years. So we had two editions before the pandemic, in 2018 with 13 countries and one in 2019 with 25 countries, I believe, or a bit less, but almost doubling the numbers then. And then the pandemic happened and there was a bit of a drop, obviously. We did manage to have a few Indaba X's. And last year we restarted again with almost the same number as 2019, but it has been amazing to see them grow to 36 countries this year. That's an amazing growth. And that's due to the work of all the Central Steering Committee of the Indaba X this year. They have been doing an amazing job. And the second growth, so yeah, actually from last year to this year, obviously we grew in size. Again, last year was a restarting year after the pandemic. So yeah, it meant that we weren't certain until the very, very close to the time of the event if we are even going to make it happen. So that also meant that we needed to reduce the numbers to keep social distancing at this point, which meant that we had an Indaba with 350 or 400 people. Mm-hmm. This year we are reaching almost 800, I think. But which is more important is the growth in diversity and the, you know, growing inclusion that we see in the Indaba. So something that I'm personally very, very happy and very proud with. Last year we had our first mom coming or parent coming with a baby to attend the Indaba. This year, a few more came with their babies. So I'm really happy to see that, you know, through the work of everyone around, we managed to put together an environment that is safe enough for them to feel so empowered 100%. And to come to participate to this amazing event.
100%.
Yeah.
As an organizer, right, take me through some of the challenges to put together an event of this magnitude.
Well, there are so many challenges. Well, there's a lot of happiness too, obviously. It's actually a work that has been done with a team of over 60 people.
Yeah. I mean, the army of blue t-shirts is amazing. I mean,
sorry?
The army of blue t-shirts.
Yeah.
Is amazing. The volunteers.
So, yeah, those are local volunteers that came until the end. But I'm talking also about the 60 plus that worked all the year long. And we are you know, grateful to all volunteers altogether for sure. But yeah. Through the year we had to work with 60 people, different time zones, different constraints, and, you know, working on different parts of the project. So communicating between, it's not always easy. It hasn't been an easy task, but it's definitely a learning opportunity that I loved and enjoyed. And the team is amazing. I really loved working with them. It's such an honor and a privilege to be working with them on this event. I learned something from each one of them, and it's a very interesting journey. You know, there are also logistical challenges, obviously, because most of us, we organized this event without being here once before coming.
Yes.
So we don't know really what are the circumstances that we're working with. Obviously, we have a local committee, but even the local chairs weren't here all the time. And, you know, there is always sometimes a mismatch between expectation and reality and that you have to deal with on the floor. I was really, you know, impressed and grateful to the local team and the volunteers for their speed of reaction on the floor to, you know, tackle all these challenges.
Amil, in your own right now, I need you to take your event organizing hats off. I mean, you're a researcher in the field. You work at Google DeepMind. What do you do at Google DeepMind?
So, yeah, I'm a research scientist. I work currently, or for the past 2 years, I've been focusing on a topic that is called continual learning.
Continual learning.
Which is to work on, you know, the make our models more adaptable and make them able to learn from a data that is changing over time and accumulate knowledge through this process,
And then your work. Give me an example of practical application of your work.
Oh, okay. So there are plenty. So, you know, maybe one thing that I particularly work towards is, you know, we have now the trend is to pre-train on a large data set and then fine-tune on smaller applications, maybe downstream, what you call downstream tasks. It would be a huge gain, I think, for the community if we manage between a pre-training phase and the other, not to just throw everything that we learned on, but to build on top of the knowledge that we accumulated. It's also, you know, what I'm studying is basically what we call transfer learning, how to transfer knowledge from one specific, you know, setting to another. And, you know, being able to do that could maybe help us make our models useful to more and more cases. Yeah, so distribution shift can be seen through time. You know, we are, the data is changing. So I don't know, if we think about language, for example, there are topics that are, you know, popular now, but the topics that are popular next month will be different and next year will be even different. And adapting to the distribution shift would make our models maybe more efficient, you know, because the more knowledge we accumulate, the more easy for us to build on it, hopefully. That's what we aim to achieve. And it also changes over space, right? Because the data here is different than the data in Europe or in other places of the world. So, yeah, so adapting to all these shifts could has a great promise of, you know, increasing the efficiency of our problem, our model.
The beautiful thing, I think, about deep learning and DAB is the community.
Yes.
The community is amazing. I'm an institution, whether on the continent or not on the continent. How does an institution join this community? Walk me through the process. Is there an email? Is there somebody you need to, you know, contact? How do institutions become part of the Indaba?
So you're talking about other communities?
Other communities, yes.
Okay, so yeah, the Indaba is open to all. We really, I mean, we this year in particular, we started an effort to engage more actively with communities. But historically, there have been an amazing relationship with the Indaba and, you know, many other communities that exist on the continent. Many other communities actually started from conversation at Indaba as well, like Masakani, for example. And we always had, you know, very tight relations with them. But this year in particular, we have a committee that is called Community Engagement. And I invite you, if you want, to basically become what we call an affiliated community, so a community that we have, you know, maybe formalized relations with, not to say it's another word, but we can work together more and have more clarity in our common goals. I invite you all to write to communities@deeplearningindaba.com. Yeah, that will get to the right people to start a relation that it doesn't, if it doesn't exist already. Yeah.
No, Amil, I'm good at keeping secrets between me and you. Where are we going next year?
Oh, I wish I could tell you.
Just tell me. I'm good at keeping secrets. No. Where are we going, Amil?
Well, seriously, we still don't know at this point.
What's on the board?
So I can tell you what we are looking at to make this decision.
Yeah.
So we actually have a few considerations to take into account. So first of all, For now, we have been moving around. You know, we started in the south, we moved to the east, the north, the west. So this, to continue this movement is something that is interesting and important for us, to bring this community to other, you know, regions of the continent. But there are also, you know, logistical and practical constraints to look at. So as maybe you have seen, we try to be inclusive to as many people as possible, especially students. So, we try to book flights for as many students as possible. We try to help with visas for as many students as possible. And for that, we're trying to look for a practical place for that. You know that, you know...
Accessibility is easy.
Yeah, policies are different between countries.
Yes.
So ideally, we'd like to go to a country where visas are easy to get. But maybe this is also a call to try to increase collaborations between African countries.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we really, you know, we will be stronger if we can work with weather easier. And certainly these are barriers for us to do that. Also flights.
The cost of flights.
Cost of flights is something to consider. But also, you know, like if we can find a local organization or a local partner that, you know,
we can work with on the ground.
On the ground.
100%.
Because, yeah, we cannot go ourselves to the place
100%.
Potentially before the Indaba. So we need to rely on someone in the ground. Yeah, these are some of the considerations, you know. Yeah, we try to promote essentially universities. So we try to look for universities in particular to go to. Like you see here, it's amazing campus in Ghana. And yeah, so these are the considerations that we're looking at, and hopefully by, you know, a month from now or so, we can get a better idea where we're going. But we will make sure to make you all know when we reach this decision.
You've got a really good list of sponsors that make this possible. You did say there's flights, there's logistics. I mean, it all costs money. From a sponsorship point of view, your current list of sponsors, why do they keep coming back? What do you think, or rather in your understanding, when you speak with them, what is the value that the Indaba provides for them specifically?
Well, thank you for bringing this question. Well, first of all, we're really lucky to have an amazing set of supporters, not only sponsors. You know, the communities are also huge supporters. We also had a crowdfunding campaign this year. Many, many people participated, and we are grateful for all this support. It actually makes this event possible. But I think, you know, it's maybe a shared and common belief that what we are trying to do, which is strengthening machine learning in Africa, is something that is needed now for this technology, this transformative technology, to be truly beneficial to as many people as possible. And I think also, you know, for sure there are opportunities as well in the African continents, but, you know, building such a technology without hearing all the voices is outright risky and dangerous. And I think it's a common belief in that brings us together. Yeah.
Deep Learning Indaba is 7 years old this year.
Yes, I believe, yeah.
In the next 3 years, you'll be 10 years, a decade.
Yeah.
What do you look forward to when Deep Learning Indaba is 10 years old?
Well, again, I'll go back to my first involvement with Indaba, which is Indaba Access. I look forward to have all the continents represented there. So we are a good, you know, we are making a good progress.
Mm-hmm.
We covered a good part of the continent, mm-hmm. I believe, but there are still countries that are mm-hmm. missing. There are still communities that are relatively underrepresented. I'm thinking, for example, about the Portuguese-speaking community. So if you know, if you are a Portuguese-speaking community and you want to engage with Indaba, we really highly encourage you to reach out to us. We'd love to work together. I really look forward to have this coverage for all the African countries through the Indaba Access. It's really a program that allows us to reach much more people than this one event per year can. So we can only cater for a few hundreds, potentially 1,000 if we manage to find sponsors and the right venue for it. But with Indaba Access, we can reach more than 8,000 currently, and, you know, potentially higher if we bring more people in. Also looking forward to continue this nice progress that we've been seeing. Actually, if you look at the programs of the Indaba from when it started to this day, you can see, like, really in a very tangible way how much progress we've made together. I'm personally also looking forward to see not that it doesn't exist, but to see more of foundational research coming from Africa, because I truly believe that we need African models made by Africans to solve African problems. And not import something that was developed elsewhere in other conditions to try to apply. That's already good. We can solve a lot of problems with that. But I think that potentially we can be more impactful if we develop our own models and algorithms, based on
the context.
It can be a research that is driven by application, by real applications, but also more foundational research in the continent.
Well, Amil, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I think the beautiful work that you're doing is amazing.
Thank you very much.
Looking forward to many more years. Let the Ndaba grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Can't wait till we celebrate 50 years. That would be wonderful. And I think, this, it doesn't get better than here. It really doesn't get better than here. Everybody who's anybody regarding AI on the continent is here. So it's the Mecca, it's the epicenter. And I think it's really important, and kudos to you and your team for preserving this.
Well, thank you very much. But if it wasn't also for the engagement of everyone that is here, it wouldn't happen.
Yes.
Thank you to everybody.
Lastly, University of Ghana hosted that this year. What dish is your favorite? Talabi, jollof, or what was your favorite dish?
I really like jollof.
Yeah,
it's very, very good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Everyone loves jollof rice.
Yeah.
Everyone loves jollof rice. Okay, thank you very much, Amil.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mohapi Show, Take Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iAfrican.com. That is iAfrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show, produced by Nzalo Mbangana and content producer and host by Don Kotokwane.